Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And the Denver Broncos have taken Super Bowl 50.
That's right. You know what time it is. You are Locked On Broncos, and it's time to drop some knowledge. I am Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. Part of Scout Media and now CBS Sports. Luke Polglaze, my co-host, is out tonight. Apologies. The Super Bowl running late kind of threw a wrench in our plans for today's episode. And with the time difference between Luke and I, I'm Mountain Time, he's Eastern. It just wasn't feasible. But today I'm going to hold down the fort solo. And again, we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week. And we're not here to just report the news. We're here to do a deep dive on your favorite team. So help us out. You know, retweet these episodes on Twitter. Share them on Facebook and what other social accounts that you use. And of course, go check out our work over at MileHighHuddle.com because we have killer premium Broncos content, more deep dive stuff for the Broncoholics out there. Just Sunday, Doc Bear put out a great piece that I suggest all of you go check out, that talks about, that breaks down kind of the power scheme and one particular facet of it, which is drive blocking. And for the real deep down football nerds, you're going to want to brush up on that stuff with a new system coming to town. Now, also our premium subscribers get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. So go check that out. And of course, follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. We've had the account up now for, I don't know, maybe a couple of months, and we're a little over 220 followers, but we have thousands of listeners, and we appreciate each one of you that's taken the time to follow the account, but we need all of you to do it. Help us out. Take a second. Open the app on your phone. Find at Locked On Broncos and click the follow button. The home of Locked On Broncos is Audio Boom, but make sure to subscribe on iTunes, and if you are an Android user, Stitcher. Season's in the books. Officially, it's all done. The 2016 campaign is over, not just for the Broncos, but for all 32 teams. The New England Patriots, as much as it pains me to say it, our Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 51. Now the focus moves into 2017 completely, and we're going to be breaking it down. Free agency, the draft. You're not going to want to miss a single episode. And again, I'm going to save most of my Super Bowl analysis for when Luke returns tomorrow. But I'll say this. You know, that was a game that was quintessential Belichick, quintessential Tom Brady. I mean, never in the history of the Super Bowl had a team ever overcome a 14-point deficit and come back to win the game. And you just knew if there was going to be a team that could pull that off, it would be Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. And not only that, but in 50 games leading up to Sunday's World Championship contest, not a single one had ever gone to overtime. So again, you're going to have, if there's going to be a first, this was probably going to be the game for it. You just saw Atlanta jump out to a rip-roaring lead, you know, and really put it to the New England Patriots, who just really came out and opened up flat. But then, you know, late in that game, in the second half, the Falcons kind of put it in cruise control and, dare I say, played not to lose. And when you do that in the most key moments and going against probably the best schemer, the best strategist in the history of pro football, Bill Belichick, you're just tempting fate. And as much as it, you know, pains me to say it, because I really was pulling for the Atlanta Falcons, and not just because I find the New England Patriots to be distasteful, let me say that. The Falcons are one of the few teams in the NFL who have never won a Super Bowl, and of course this was their second trip to the big game. The Broncos beat them the first time in Super Bowl 33, and now the Patriots, of course. And I was rooting for them to to bring it home for their fans. And unfortunately, I guess you could say it wasn't meant to be. The football gods did not ordain it as such. And New England came back in the second half. Stormed back, especially made up most of the ground in the fourth quarter. And really, there were two turning points in the game. The first being, and really both two in the fourth quarter. The first being after that second-to-last drive of the Patriots, where they brought the game to within 8 points, the Atlanta Falcons had a chance to put up another 3 points on the board. They were in field goal range with very little time left on the clock. And sure enough, you know, Matt Ryan, I wouldn't want to say inexperienced, but maybe his lack of poise in big games came back to bite his team on the rear end, taking a sack that really knocked him out of field goal range. And then, of course, there was the holding penalty that was the death knell of that drive. But having to punt on that possession and give Tom Brady the ball with all the chips down, and even though there was very little time left, it was enough time to go the distance of the field. And the thing that's most remarkable to me about how the Patriots came back to win that game is when they brought it to within two scores, they were down by 16. The rational part of my brain was saying, yeah, you know, it's two scores, but in reality they have to score four times, because they got to get both touchdowns and they have to convert both two-point attempts in order just to tie it. And the likelihood of that happening for me, I was just like, well, but again, the same thought on the other hand, if anyone could do it, it's Tom Brady. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And by the time the Patriots were driving on their final possession of regulation, you could just see the Atlanta Falcons running around with their hands on their hips, their heads down. They felt the momentum get sucked out of their entire team, and it was hard to watch. You know, I got to say, you know, these are paid professionals and all, but I felt bad for them. And of course, once the New England Patriots scored that final touchdown and then converted it in regulation, we knew the odds were it was going to go to overtime. And I was I knew at that point, of course, that Patriots were going to come back and they were going to win this game fair and square in overtime. Hats off to them. They now have 5 Super Bowl championships. Tom Brady as a quarterback now surpasses Joe Montana for the most Super Bowl rings in NFL history. And a quick side note, had they lost that game, the New England Patriots would have tied the Broncos for the most losses in Super Bowl losses in NFL history. The Broncos have 5. Patriots, of course, have 4 as a franchise. So I'm looking forward to breaking this thing down. We'll get a little bit more into it with Luke tomorrow and get some of his observations. But wow, what a game. I mean, it was kind of a clunker through the first 3 quarters of the game, but that fourth quarter was one of the most entertaining Super Bowl experiences in recent memory for me. Now, the big news, though, for Broncos country is finally, after 11 years, 11 long years of waiting, Terrell Davis finally is getting enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, class of 2017. I mean, you name it, Terrell Davis has accomplished it as a pro. As short-lived as his career was, 78 games in his career, he checked all the boxes. I mean, the only thing, and it was the only argument against him getting into the Hall all these years, of course, was longevity. But other than that, I mean, this is a guy, his resume is as unique as they come. 2-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, NFL MVP, and he has a 2,000-yard rushing campaign, one of just 7 running backs in NFL history to eclipse the 2,000-yard rushing mark in a single season. And as impressive as that resume is, where Davis really shined as a running back was in the playoffs. I mean, he had only 8 opportunities in his short career to play in the postseason. And in those 8 games, Davis rushed for 1,140 yards and 12 touchdowns, averaging right at 5.6 yards per clip and more than 100 yards per game. And remember, you know, when we get to the playoffs, this is when you see the intensity on all sides go up that extra notch. And to see someone be that prolific and that dominant in those games, I mean, Terrell Davis, and maybe this is hyperbole, but had he not suffered that dual ACL-MCL tear in 1999. There's a good chance this is a player who could have gone on to challenge all the NFL rushing records, all the all-time records. But unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be. And you look back at his career when he did tear the ACL and MCL in his right knee. You know, the state of sports medicine was, you know, it was far, you know, a lot more advanced than it was in Gale Sayers' day, for example, but still a far cry from the art that it is today. You know, and Davis just never could recover from that. In the modern NFL, you know, we've seen it year in, year out over the last, I don't know, 5 to 8 years. NFL athletes bounce back with relative quickness, and in most cases, the vast majority of the cases, regain their full ability. You look at Adrian Peterson bouncing back in 2012 and just dominating the NFL. Such was not the fate for Davis to follow the same suit. And really, that's what kept him out of the Hall of Fame for 11 long years. 8 years as a semifinalist, 3 as a finalist, and the Hall of Fame voting committee, of course, 9-hour debate chewing on this thing, trying to iron it out and get it right. You look at what Gale Sayers, I mean, he's the guy that Davis gets compared to the most, of course, because he is enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but only had 7 years of production. And the same is said for Davis, but where Sayers was earning a lot more weight and gravity to his case for the Hall of Fame was that in his time and place in the NFL for the Chicago Bears way back in the day, he was an innovator. I mean, he was a guy that set the stage for all the phenomenal rushers that you know have followed him in the decades after. And so, again, though, as awesome as Gale Sayers was, you look at what he'd meant for his team. I mean, the Chicago Bears during Gale Sayers' tenure never did anything. In fact, and this is off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure he never even played in the playoffs. I might be wrong on that. I know for sure he never won a playoff game. And then you compare that to Terrell Davis. This was a guy who, you know, drafted in the 6th round by the Denver Broncos, a team who had, up to that point, lost. They were 0-4 in the Super Bowl at the time that Terrell Davis was drafted. John Elway basically put the team on his shoulders 3 of those times, 3 of those trips to the Super Bowl where they lost, and it just never was enough because he was basically all the team had, and against the best of the best, and back in the 80s especially, the NFC was just so dominant. It was just such a disparity between the AFC and NFC. By the time John Elway got his team over the hump and into the Super Bowl, he was playing against teams that were so stacked and balanced across the board, and it just wasn't enough. Well, you flash forward to 1995 when Terrell Davis was drafted. This Broncos team, Mike Shanahan had just been hired. You know, they were starting to put the building blocks in place that would become a 2-time Super Bowl champion roster, and many of those pieces were in place. You know, John Elway, you still had the Hall of Fame caliber quarterback who still at that point never won the big one. That was the big knock on Elway, of course. And then you had Rod Smith come along. You had Shannon Sharp, Gary Zimmerman, the left tackle. Defensively, you had many of the pieces in place. But they still were missing that one spark, that one piece. Davis gets drafted as a rookie. You know, the Broncos are in Tokyo competing in a preseason game. And here's basically a nameless 6th-round pick covering a kick, goes down and just makes a ferocious tackle that just popped off the field, popped off the screen, got the coach's attention. He ended up winning the competition to be the starting running back, eclipsed 1,000 yards as a rookie. That was 95. 96, the Broncos made some real noise in the playoffs. Of course, got upset by Jacksonville at home in the divisional round, which to them, the Broncos to this day consider that to be really, truly their missing ring season because all the chips, I should say all the stars were aligned for them to go on and win the big one. But that year it wasn't meant to be, and still the next year the Broncos come raging back. They fight through 3 games in the playoffs to make the Super Bowl, and they win it with Terrell Davis eclipsing 100 yards, 157 yards, in fact, in Super Bowl 32 against the Green Bay Packers. 3 touchdowns. all while suffering from a migraine in the second half that rendered him sightless for a time. But without Terrell Davis, I'm telling you right now, John Elway gets all the credit, because he's a quarterback. And it's not that he doesn't deserve credit. Of course he does. But were it not for Terrell Davis, the Denver Broncos would not have won back-to-back Super Bowls in 1997-98 season. And that's the difference between Terrell Davis and Gale Sayers. Terrell Davis was the difference maker. He was the type of player that could put a team on his back and carry them forward as winners. Gale Sayers just never quite got to that point. And, you know, you could make an argument for talent around him and all that, because the Broncos, those that 3 years in particular, 96, 97, 98, were as stacked as they can, as it comes across the board. But hey, you know what? Hats off to Terrell Davis. 11 long years this guy waited, and he is most deserving. And really, when you look at it, that gives the Broncos 5 legitimate Hall of Famers. Floyd Little, of course, running back. Gary Zimmerman, left tackle. John Elway, of course. And tight end, Shannon Sharpe. Now with Davis, that makes 5. 4 of those guys, of course, from the back-to-back Super Bowl champion teams of the late 90s. So, you know, we could sit and talk about the perceived Broncos bias in the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting committee. But to me at this stage, guess what? It's all water under the bridge. The Broncos have several guys that will be coming up in the coming years for consideration for the Hall of Fame. Champ Bailey's going to be one of them. He'll get into the Hall of Fame. And more opportunities to come. And I'm confident that the Hall of Fame voting committee at some point is going to rectify some of that injustice that is perceived in the fan base for a lack of representation in the Hall of Fame, because the Broncos truly are one of the most successful and storied franchises in NFL history, and they have Terrell Davis to thank for much of that. So hats off to Terrell Davis, a mile-high salute from Locked On Broncos and, of course, the rest of Broncos country. But hey, today, short and sweet. Thanks for listening while we're out with Luke. This last basic 5 days of podcasting has been kind of, helter-skelter with my schedule being weird. Luke, holding down the fort for 4 days last week, did a great job, guest host. And then the last couple days, it wasn't meant to be for Luke and I getting together. But tomorrow, we will be back to drop some knowledge. We'll maybe go through the Super Bowl a little bit more in detail, get some of Luke's thoughts on the matter, and talk about some other pressing Broncos issues, maybe do some draft stuff. We'll see. So thanks for listening. Follow Locked On Broncos on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Myself, at Chad N. Jensen. Luke, at Luke Polglaze. We love hearing from you, so hit us up. Quick side note, we've gotten some requests on Twitter to do a kind of 7-round Broncos mock draft. And we are going to do it. In fact, what we're thinking is we're going to do like a roundtable type of podcast with, I'll probably host it, pass it around. We'll have Luke, of course, and then maybe bring back Eric Trickle, Nick Kendall. We'll see if there's anyone else we'd like to participate, but it'll be fun. So you can look forward to that in the coming days or weeks. I'm not sure exactly when, but stay tuned. And check out Locked On NFL Draft right now. This is a podcast with the draft coming up. You want to get to know the lay of the land, the prospects that are going to be going under the microscope. You want to check out that show. Don't forget to subscribe, y'all. For Luke, I'm Chad. Talk to you tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.